Good morning, everyone. It's good to be speaking to you. This Sunday is a special Sunday at the end of April. It's a Sunday for us as a church family, Kensington Baptist Church family, that is one of sadness and joy. Sadness because Tom, who led our service, Tom Martin, one of our elders, preaching elder, pastor of the church, this is his final Sunday of formal ministry with us as a church. Tom, who's been part of our church family for almost 6 years, his wife Rachel, daughters Molly and Charlotte, are now beginning a transition from ministry here in Bristol to ministry in Birmingham. And we as a church have wanted to gift them a sabbatical season now, which will start on Friday, where Tom and Rachel will be able to pray and prepare and make this transition from ministry here to ministry in the city of Birmingham, to West Smethwick. That's sad for us. We love Tom and Rachel. We will miss them greatly. We're thankful to God for them, for their gifts, for their service amongst us, Tom's leading and preaching. We will miss this family very much. But it is a time of joy as well. We're grateful that God has taken them and is placing them in a needy part of the country where Tom will be able to continue to minister and preach God's word. And we rejoice in that. We rejoice in what God is doing in Tom and Rachel and the girls' lives. As James Morrison reminded the elders on Monday gone, we want as a church to say goodbye to them properly. We're doing it virtually now as a virtual church. But as and when it is possible, we will gather together and say goodbye to the Martins, meet with them, hug them, pray for them. So we will look forward to that in the future. For now, we want to recognize that Tom is stepping out of ministry in the next few days. Friday, we'll begin that sabbatical. And we want to know as a church how we pray for the Martins, not just now in the coming days and weeks and months, but years as they move to Birmingham, as they continue serving the Lord Jesus Christ and preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. How do we pray for them? And I thought it would be good to use this final passage from John's Gospel in our Easter series. We've been working our way through the back end of John's Gospel. We started with the resurrection of Lazarus in chapter 11, and we looked at the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, and then Jesus before Pilate, and Easter Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus. Last Sunday, we saw one of Jesus' first appearance to the disciples. And so we're going to look at this final chapter, John chapter 21. Next week, we'll be beginning a series in the Gospel of Luke, starting at Luke chapter 1, verse 1. But today, as we think about Tom and sending Tom and Rachel and this transition that they're making, we want to commend to them this chapter. And as we think about praying for them, how we can pray for them from this chapter, here is the thing that's been moving my heart and been very much in my prayers for them as a family. We want to pray for Tom that they will, Rachel, that he will feed the sheep as they follow the shepherd. That's what we're going to see from this chapter. Feed the sheep, Tom, as you follow the shepherd. Do you see that? Have a look. Hopefully you've got a Bible in front of you. Open it back to John 21, the passage that Tom read for us earlier. John chapter 21, verse 15. We read these words. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, and here it is, "Feed my lambs." Verse 16, again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." So here's the first part of what we're praying for Tom and Rachel. Feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. Now, this language of feeding that Jesus speaks to the Apostle Peter would not have been strange for him. At a key point in John's Gospel, back in John chapter 6, Jesus has said, "I am the bread of life. Feed on me. Feed on me." No, life and joy and peace in me, in who I am. That's what Jesus has been calling the world to feed on him, the one who is their creator, the one who is their savior. And back in John chapter 16 and 17, Jesus has been saying to these disciples, to Peter and the rest of those first apostles, those men who would go out into all the world with the good news of Jesus. He's been saying, you have the truth. You have the message of who I am, of what I have accomplished. Speak that truth. And that is what we have, and that's what we hold in our hands. In the Old Testament, as God looked forward to the coming, to the sending of his Son, and the New Testament, the apostles' written down record of who Jesus is, we have here in our hands God's word of truth, the message of Jesus Christ from Genesis to Revelation. This book, this Bible, speaks of Jesus Christ and all that he is and all that he has done. We call Tom, just as Peter, that one of the first apostles was called, we call Tom to feed the sheep, feed them Christ, feed them the word of God. Calvin famously said that Christ comes to us clothed in the gospel. When we open God's word, there we see Christ and learn of him and all that he is, all that he has done. And we worship him and delight in him. In God's word, we learn of Jesus. Tom, feed the sheep. Feed them God's word. Feed them Christ. Do you notice the beautiful progression that Jesus mentions, speaks of? In verse 15, look at the end of verse 15. Jesus says, feed my lambs. We think of lambs, don't we? They're newborn sheep, aren't they? At springtime, we think of these little lambs, and we think of the newborns, and we pray that as Tom goes to Westmeathick, he will see people born again, born into God's kingdom, many people turning to and trusting in Jesus Christ, knowing him as creator and king and savior. We pray that here at Kensington, in Easton, in Bristol. We pray that God would work in people's lives and cause them to come to new life in Jesus Christ. But we also pray that in this feeding, so hearing of Jesus, believing on him, receiving him, that there will be growth. Jesus says, feed my lambs. He says in verse 16 at the end, look at verse 16, take care of my sheep. Look at the end of verse 17. Jesus said, feed my sheep. We pray for maturity, for growth. We saw that in Colossians in our series last term, didn't we? At one point, the Apostle Paul says, Christ we proclaim, teaching and admonishing everyone with all wisdom so that we may present people mature in Christ, growing up in the knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that for Tom, for Rachel, for the ministry there in Westmeathick, that they will feed the sheep, see people coming to Christ, believing on him, and growing in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, notice that this isn't some mechanical, automated, fast food, drive-through kind of feeding. Do you see there in verse, at the end of verse 16, where Jesus says to Peter, take care of my sheep? You might have in a translation you're using at home the word tend. The idea here is of personal knowing and caring for each sheep, their lives, their situations. And we pray that for Tom. We pray that the word will be spoken to people in real situations, in real lives, in a real community. This food will be not fast food, but household food, tailored and given the whole gospel, the whole Christ, to people in their situations and in their needs. So feed the sheep. That's what Jesus says to the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter uniquely goes out, and the apostolic gospel is preached, and it is written, and we have it in this book, and it is this word, this book, Genesis to Revelation, the whole counsel of God that speaks of Christ, that we're to feed the church, that Tom is to preach to the church. And we feed the sheep as we follow the shepherd. Feed the sheep, Christ, as you follow the shepherd, Jesus Christ. In verse 18, at the end of, well, have a look at verse 18. Jesus says there, very truly I tell you, when you were younger and you dressed yourself and went where you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hand and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. So Jesus makes an amazing statement about the future of Peter's life. Peter will lay down his life for Jesus. The weight of service and life in Christ is a path of suffering. But he concludes it by giving this command to Peter, follow me. We'll see in a moment that later he says the same thing. As for you, you follow me. So that's what we pray for Tom. Feed the sheep, Tom, as you follow the shepherd, as you follow Christ. And in this chapter, in John 21, we see two foundational aspects of what life in Christ looks like. Forgiven and provision. We see those two gloriously displayed. Forgiven, well, back in verse 15, as they finish eating and take this walk along the Sea of Galilee, Simon Peter is asked by Jesus, do you love me? And he replies in verse 15, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my lamb, says Jesus. Again, Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus says, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now, we know that this is a painful conversation for Peter. Peter is walking with Jesus, the one he loves, who only days earlier he denied. He, with oaths, claimed not that just he didn't agree with Jesus' teaching and that he thought that what Jesus was doing in going to death on a cross was not quite right. Peter claimed that he never knew Jesus. The lies, the sin, the idolatry, the fear of man rather than the fear of God. Peter sinned, turned away from Jesus. And here is Jesus extending grace, undeserved loving kindness to Peter, restoring Peter, showing Peter that he is loved, showing Peter that he is part of the kingdom of God, showing Peter that all that he did on the cross, that cleansing work, that sin-defeating work on the cross is Peter's to know and receive. That's what Peter receives here. He receives the welcome of Jesus. All of us are sinners. All of us are in need of forgiveness. Peter is walking along the Sea of Galilee. I wonder where sometimes you find yourself walking. Perhaps along a lane, or in a park, or sitting in a lounge, or sitting at your desk. And you know you've sinned. You know what you have done. And the wonderful truth of the good news of Jesus is that all we are to do is turn to Christ and see who he is and what he has done. Christ, who came to this earth to die for sin, to willingly take on God's judgment for sin, and see that all that Christ has done, and believe and receive from Christ the blessing of forgiveness, the wonderful forgiveness that he provides. Receive the forgiveness of Jesus today. Call out to him. So we pray that Tom will know that as he feeds the sheep, he is to follow Christ, follow the shepherd. And that means knowing forgiveness, confessing sin, knowing that we're forgiven, and also knowing provision, knowing God's provision. The whole chapter, especially the first half of the chapter, is just full of the provision of Jesus Christ. At the start of the chapter, we haven't got time to read it, but at the start of chapter 21, some of the disciples decide to go fishing again. And out they go onto the Sea of Galilee, and they labor all night, and they don't catch anything. And early in the morning, there is a figure on the shore who asks them if they caught anything. They say they haven't, and he says, let down the nets on the other side of the boat. So they've been fishing this side, and this person on the seashore says, just put the nets over the other side, which they do. And the nets are full of fish. And we're told the number, 153 fish. And one of the disciples, John, says, it's the Lord Jesus. And Peter jumps overboard and swims to Jesus. He loves Jesus. He's sorrowful for his sin. He's trusting in Christ. And when they get there, when the disciples all get there, they find there's a cooked breakfast. Not only they've just caught fish, there's a cooked breakfast. Breakfast of bread and fish. When you hear that, bread and fish, does it remind you of anything? The feeding of the 5,000. That's what the disciples surely would have thought of. Bread and fish. They'd seen Jesus feed 5,000 men besides women and children. Jesus is the one who provides everything that we need, all that we have, all that we need for ministry. These 153 fish, what a beautiful picture that is. As Peter and the disciples pull those nets in, just weeks later, Peter the apostle will preach and thousands of people will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What an ingathering of souls that is. Jesus is the one who provides. Jesus is the one who gives and works and provides us all that we need for life and godliness and for ministry. We pray that Tom will be aware of that. We pray that Tom will be aware that Christ is the one who provides his every need. So feed the sheep as you follow the shepherd. Perhaps you could covenant with me that we would pray that for Tom and Rachel. We would just pray that, feed the sheep, Tom, Rachel, as you follow the shepherd. Now, a little footnote, and don't compare. Feed the sheep as you follow the shepherd, and don't compare. Have a look at verse 20. Jesus has just told Peter that he will die. He will die a death that glorifies God. He will be martyred for his faith. And look at what we read in verse 20. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" What a very realistic human reaction this is, isn't it? Peter is being restored by Jesus, but this by no means makes him perfect. He still has struggles. He still has temptations in his life. He sees John, the apostle John. Very likely he's who's talking about walking behind him. He wants to know, well, Jesus, what's going to happen to this guy? This is what is planned for me. This is where my ministry is heading. What about that guy's ministry? Comparison like that is so natural to the human heart, isn't it? We live in a world of comparison, a culture of comparison, where we're always looking and comparing people and situations. We've got a whole website, a whole industry of comparison. Go compare. I'd sing it if I was brave enough. And it's easy to do that as we look at people and their homes and their cars and their families and their children and relationships and work and money, to compare ourselves with them. Jesus says to Peter, verse 22, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." What is that to you? You must follow me. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. He is the one who is our King. He is the one who has made everything. He is the one who has placed us in our circumstances with the gifts, the opportunities, the situations. We are to serve him where he has placed us. What is it to you what other people have? That's the Lord's work. That's our Creator, Sovereign God who is in control. We are to follow Jesus Christ. We pray that for Tom. We pray that he won't, as he settles in West Smethwick with the family, that he resists the temptation to compare himself and the church plant that he'd be involved in to other ministries, to the church down the road and the church in the next suburb and the baptisms and the membership and the size of the church, that he won't compare himself. He will follow Christ. He will feed the sheep as he follows the shepherd. So friends, we give that injunction to Tom today. We pray that for him. We pray that he will be a faithful steward, a faithful servant of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Think about Tom and Rachel as they make the move and all in the coming months now and all that will be involved. And as they land in that new church, think of all the responsibilities and opportunities and things that will need to get done. Lots of things could crowd in onto Tom's life. We must pray that central to his ministry will be feeding the sheep. That will take time, studying God's word, opening it, reading, praying, giving himself to it, thinking about how it applies, what it means, the one meaning, the truth of what is read there, and then how that applies to the situation, the context that he's in. We must pray that Tom will do that. Think about when you prepare a 3-course meal. Perhaps you want to make a three-course meal for yourself, friends, family. Think of all that's involved with that. The recipe, understanding the recipe, getting hold of the ingredients, the preparation, the cooking of the meal, the serving of the meal, the time that that takes. That is absolutely the same in the spiritual realm. We must pray that Tom will take time to study God's word. He will give himself to that. That will be central to the ministry. So that Tom feeds people food from God's word that is nourishing and sustaining and that is truth. Not some fast food that Tom has thrown together in 10 minutes just to try and get people through. Pray that Tom will give himself to the feeding of the sheep and to following Christ. That Tom will know that he is forgiven in the Lord Jesus, that he will trust that Christ has died and was buried and has risen again. And Tom will follow Jesus Christ, will keep his eyes firmly fixed on him, knowing that God will provide, that God will meet all of his needs. There might be some days where Tom thinks, nothing is happening. I have labored all night, all week, all month, for years, and caught nothing. We pray that Tom, as he follows Christ, will trust in the provision of his shepherd. Feed the sheep, Tom, as you follow the shepherd. And what we pray for Tom, actually, we also give as an injunction to the elders of the church here at Kensington. That's important to remember, isn't it? Later, the Apostle Peter will write a letter to a group of churches, and he'll say to the elders there, be shepherds of God's flock. Every elder is a pastor, is a shepherd of God's flock, and is to feed the sheep as they follow the shepherd. We are blessed with elders here, brothers and sisters. Pray for them. Pete Dyer and Peter Pryor and Anthony Oldfield and Andy Thomas and Simon Woods and Stuart Heap and Tom, even as Tom transitions now from ministry here, and James Morrison, the trainee pastor, trainee elder. Pray for these men, that they would be men who feed the sheep as they follow the shepherd. It's very easy for elders to be distracted by all kinds of other responsibilities, finance and buildings and programs and ministries. The central role of elders, the role of elders, is to be men of the word and of prayer, who study God's word, who grow in it, who understand it, and who take every occasion, every opportunity to speak God's word, to teach it, to encourage people in the scriptures, in conversations, in telephone calls, in small groups, on Sundays, in leading services, in preaching, to speak God's word, to feed the sheep Christ as we read of him and know him in the scriptures by the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to pray for elders at church who do that, elders at Kensington who live like that. We want to encourage them in that, hold them accountable to that. And, dearest friends, pray that we would see new elders raised up who will feed the sheep as they follow the shepherd. As a church, we should be praying for younger men who will have this desire in their hearts to feed God's people as they follow Christ, to grow in godly character, to teach God's word, to speak God's word, to admonish and encourage and comfort. We should pray for young men to desire that noble task, and for a church to identify men and encourage them in the gifts that God has given them. As I speak to you now, I have just two other people in the building, practicing social distancing, Tom to my right, who led the service, and then Paul Hampson, who's running all the technical side. We think of Paul's little son, Wessie, don't we? And what a prayer that would be from Wessie, that he would grow, trust in Jesus Christ. We should pray that for that family and for him and his sister as a church. Pray that Wessie would grow and would become a man of God who desires to feed the sheep as he follows the shepherd. And we want to pray these realities for us as a church, for our church elders. And also we want to know the responsibility that we have as sheep, as God's people, to ensure that God's word is taught, that we are nourished and sustained by the true and faithful preaching of Christ from his word. That's a responsibility that we all have as a church, that we all have as sheep. We have a responsibility to know the scriptures, to study them. Think about what we've been learning in Habits of Grace, to study them broadly and deeply, to love the scriptures, to see how they point us to Christ, to walk with Christ, so that we can understand and discern what we are being taught so that we can weigh it, so we can hold people accountable for what they preach of Jesus Christ from his word. I was with a group of people on Thursday evening, virtually, where we talked about this. The responsibility we all have as sheep of God's flock, as the people of God's kingdom, of God's church, to know the scriptures, to read them, delight in them, study them, grow in our understanding of them, desire that, pursue that prayerfully, and speak the scriptures into each other's lives. How important that is as sheep, as people of God's kingdom. Think about the illustration of cooked food again. All of us know what it is like to have received and eaten food that isn't gone off, that isn't healthy. Like we might even look at the food and realize that this isn't going to be appetizing. This isn't going to do us any good. And then we might smell it. So this food has gone. And then certainly when we taste it, and brothers and sisters, as members of God's kingdom, as part of God's flock, we are to develop these spiritual senses that are able to detect and see when God's word is taught faithfully so that we can receive it and grow up in it and be strengthened in it, and also where God's word is taught erroneously, where it is distorted, where untruth is spoken, so that we can reject it and hold people accountable so we can dismiss it. That is a responsibility that we have as the people of God. We need to know when God's word is being faithfully taught and when it is being unfaithfully taught. So it's a word for us as sheep as well. Pray for the elders of the church. Pray for Tom. Pray that we would know a culture of feeding the sheep as we follow the shepherd. Now listen, I'm very aware as I finish that this sermon from John 21 has been very in-house. As I close, I'm aware that we've been wanting to say on this Sunday a special word for Tom as he begins his sabbatical now and as he makes this move up to Birmingham. We wanted to think about our responsibility as a church to pray for him there and to pray that he would feed the sheep as he follows the shepherd. But as I finish, maybe you've been listening to this and perhaps you're one of our regulars who meets with us at Kensington Baptist Church, and you know that you're not a follower of Jesus. You know you're not part of his flock, a sheep under his care. But perhaps you're a virtual visitor. So you've just tuned in by chance, or you're watching this a day later or a week later or a month later or a couple of years later. Can I commend to you the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the one who says to you this morning, follow me. Jesus Christ came to give his life, that we might have life in all its fullness. He said that, I've come that you might have life and life to the full. Jesus teaches us, the Bible teaches us, that we are born not just spiritually malnutritious, we spiritually empty. We are dead. We have no desire for God, no desire for his word. And yet we are hungering and thirsting, and in our lives we try and find an answer to our hunger and our thirst in things like work or relationships or sex or power or money, and none of these things satisfy. None of these things fill that hole, that desire that we have, which only God can fill. And I pray that you'll see this morning that Jesus Christ is the one who can meet our every need. He is our rightful King. He is our rightful Savior. He is the one who is our Creator. He knows us from the very number of hairs on our head, from the top of our head to the toes of our flesh. We need to turn to Christ, and I commend Christ to you today. Jesus Christ came and emptied himself, gave up everything, went willingly to death on a cross, emptied himself there, took on the sin, took on our wrongdoing, took on God's judgment for sin, that we might have life, that we who are empty might be filled, that we who have nothing and are heading to a godless eternity might know the way to heaven, to know the way to life with God and the Lord Jesus Christ forevermore. Jesus alone is the one who meets our every need, who paid for our wrongdoings, who can cleanse a guilty conscience, who removes the right judgment of God for sin. Can I call on you to trust in Jesus Christ today?